Yeah, it is Monday night, December 5th, or 10th of Kislev. This is the Gemara Shir, we're up to Sukkah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph.
Okay, Rabotai. We're on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. And last week, just one Ha'ara on last week's Shir, if you remember correctly, the Gemara had asked the question, why I need a special drash to teach me that you're allowed to take lulav on afilu on Shabbos. The Gemara had quoted a brisa stating, darshaning every single word of the phrase ulekachtem lachem bayom arishon. Ulekachtem shetehe lekicha lecholechad ve'echad. Lachem, that it has to be yours. Bayom darshan the brisa afilu b'Shabbos. So the Gemara asked the question, why do I need a pasuk and a drash to teach me that I'm allowed to take a lulav on Shabbos? Without the pasuk, I wouldn't know it. Taking a lulav does not constitute a malacha. We pointed out the contrast to bris milah. By bris milah, when the Gemara darshens by yoyim hashmini afilu b'Shabbos, we understand the necessity of the drash. For after all, the act of circumcision represents Chilul Shabbos mid'oraisa. So therefore, in order to permit such an activity on Shabbos, you need a drasha chazal. But what in the world does lulav involve on Shabbos that I would need a pasuk to tell me that it's permissible? So the Gemara caved in and said, you're right. Lo nitzricha ela l'Rabbi Eliezer. The only time you needed a pasuk was for Rabbi Eliezer Shita, who held lulav v'chol machshirav doche es haShabbos. That machshirei lulav adoche es haShabbos. Namely, not just the mitzvah itself is permitted on Shabbos, but anything that necessarily leads to a mitzvah is also permissible according to Rabbi Eliezer. So there are 60,000 applications of his rule. Machshirei mitzvah doiches haShabbos. If the mael forgot the knife, he can carry it in Rishus HaRabim. If you forgot your animal and you didn't have it within Yerushalayim, and the animal is a stubborn mule, even though it can't be a mule, it has to be a sheep, it can be a stubborn little shepsela, you're allowed to carry the sheep on Shabbos. Because Shechitas HaPesach is Doiches Shabbos. So Rabbi Lezer Shita is in general, so I need the pasuk to tell me bayom that you're allowed to go ahead and do certain activities to enable you to fulfill the mitzvah. So Rashi identified two possible malachos that might be necessary in order to be mekayim the mitzvah if you didn't have a lulav. One is to cut it, kotzeitz, you cut it off from the tree. Number two, to tie it, aguda, should you be of the opinion that lulav tzarech agad, you would have to tie a knot in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. Fine. Last week we also established a very important premise, and then we'll come to the follow-up subsequent question. Even Rabbi Eliezer only allows you to do certain things if the mitzvah is unavoidable. The mitzvah must be done on that day. However, if there was any way possible to weasel out of the performance of the mitzvah, under those circumstances, Rabbi Eliezer does not allow desecration of the Shabbos. So the question was posed, I have a four-cornered garment, and I have not tied the tzitzis. Will you be permitted to what? To tie the garments on Shabbos, the tzitzis on Shabbos? The answer is no, because you have another option. Be mafkir the garment. Declare it hefker. If you declare the garment hefker, it's not obligated to be furnished with tzitzis. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer will not allow you to tie the garment's tzitzis on Shabbos because it can be worn without tying them. You don't have to put tzitzis on and you can still wear the garment. We use this to explain why is it that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion will not allow you to violate the mitzvah of lulav days 2 through 7. Which is the orais in the mikdash. Because there is an option. What option do you have? Don't go to the Beis HaMikdash. step down from the Beis HaMikdash, you won't be chayiv any longer. So Rabbi Elazar's drash only works b'yom HaShabbos, on the first day of Yontif, when it happens to be on Shabbos. So now let me ask you the following question. Is it possible to imagine that you will be mekayim the mitzvah of Arba Minim when it's still on the tree and not violate the Isur d'Oraisa of Kotzer? Is it possible to be mekayim the mitzvah of Arba Minim without cutting them, severing from the tree? What would be your gut reaction and why? This time you don't even have to fall into my trap. What would be your gut reaction? What? Why not? I go over to the lulav and I put it in my hand. It happens to be attached to the tree. But I hold the lulav, I hold the esrog in my hand while it's attached to the tree. But I put it in my hand. What would you say?
There's no medagbe.
Yeah, I am. I'm picking it up.
Self-possession?
No.
I own the tree. It's my backyard. Lulav ain't sar. We paskin ain't sar chagad. I'm asking you, in other words, what is my question? Can you be mekayim the mitzvah while it's b'mechubar? While it's attached to the ground? There is no discussion in Maseches Sukkah about it. None whatsoever. Can you be mekayim the mitzvah b'mechubar? So the Oruch Laner infers from our Gemara that you cannot. Since Rashi said that according to Rabbi Eliezer, why would I need a pasuk ulakachtem lachem b'yom harishon afilu b'shabbos, that you're allowed to do something on Shabbos, says the Gemara that operates according to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Well, what did Rabbi Eliezer say? Claims Rashi, you're allowed to cut it. If the halacha was that you can be mekayim the mitzvah b'mechubar, then it would be anti his principle. His principle is the only time I allow you to do something is if without doing it I would be denied the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Apparently, if the halacha was that you can be mekayim the mitzvah b'mechubar, then there would be no reason to engage in kotzer. Since Rashi believes that that one of the illustrations of Rabbi Lezer's halacha is that you're going to cut the lulav off, apparently you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah b'mechubar. There is a Tosfos in Sukkah that would appear agrees with Rashi. Please flip back for a moment to Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. I will remind you briefly of the sugya on the bottom of the page of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, because the Tosfos is really starts on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis and just extends all the way to the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. It's a long Tosfos. The Gemara discussed a conflict between a Mishnah and a Braisa. The Mishnah stated, lulav shel ashera is pasul. That if I have a lulav, a hadas, an esrog, or an arava, which came from a tree, which was used in the worship of Avodah Zarah, it's automatically pasul. Pasul. The pasuk in Parshas Re'eh tells us, what are you supposed to be doing with an asherah tree? Burn it. V'asherehem tisrufun ba'esh. So the Gemara says that since it requires sreifa, kol ha'omed lisreifa kisaruf dami. Anything that stands to be burnt, it's considered as if it's burnt now, and therefore it's missing the shi'ur. It doesn't have the requisite shi'ur of three tfachim high. So said the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Rava asked the question that there is another braisa that says, no, look at it, three or four lines in the bottom. Lulav shel avodah zarah lo yitol ve'im natal sheira. The braisa says that a lulav shel avodah zarah only lechatchila you're not supposed to use, but b'di'eved it's perfectly okay. Answer the Gemara. Hacha ba'asherah d'moshe askinan. Okay? Those words were subject to a machloikis, Rashi and Tosis. Anybody remember the machloikis between Rashi and Tosis? How to interpret the Gemara's answer, asherah d'moshe? Rashi believes, very difficult, that it refers to an asherah in Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Where there the Torah says v'asherehem tisrfun b'eish, so that you apply the halacha that I just quoted. Kol ha'omed l'sreifa kisaruf dami. Anything that's scheduled to be burnt has to be burnt, right? It's as if it's burnt now. But any asherah after Moshe Rabbeinu's time did not require sreifa. It's just you shouldn't use it. You're not supposed to derive benefit from it. So the second brisa, which says that it's okay, says lechatchila lo yitol, but b'di'evet im natal k'shera. And the Mishnah is talking about an asherah that existed in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. The difficulty with Rashi's interpretation is that the Mishnah would be formulating a halacha that has no bearing lahalacha. Why? Because there are no longer any asherah demoshes any longer. It's only if you were around in Moshe Rabbeinu's time. So the Mishnah, which says lulav shel asherah pasul, would be formulating a halacha that has no practical applications, which is bizarre and unusual. Therefore, Tosfos, in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam, interpreted the words asherah demoshe not as an asherah tree that is in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, but an asherah of a Jew boy, as opposed to an asherah of a guy. Namely, an avodah zarah she'avad bo Yisrael can never be cancelled. It remains asur b'hana'a le'olam va'ed. An avodah zarah of a guy, that a guy worship, you can be mivatel the shem avodah zarah, and then it's just not nice to use for a mitzvah, but b'di'evet, it's okay. It's ma'us, it's disgusting, because somebody worshipped Avodah Zarah. But it's not really a puzzle, because you can be mevatel the shame of Avodah Zarah. What do? You cancel it. You make a little shinui, and you say, this tree will no longer be used for Avodah Zarah. You make a little shinui, and now it's perfectly permissible. So the Mishnah is talking about an Avodah Zarah of a Jew, that's identified by Asherah de Moshe, and the Braisa, which says that it's okay, is an Asherah of a guy. So now, asks Tosis the following question. Please look at the Lamed Beis, Tosis on the Lamed Beis. It's, you see where the lines on the top of those get narrow, about 8 lines into the narrow lines. 8 lines into the narrow lines from the top of the page. V'ha de mishani hacha. Now that the Gemara, that which the Gemara answers here, does everybody have the place? Ha de mishani hacha. Ba'ashera de Moshe. That we claim that our Mishnah is talking about what? An asherah of a Jew. V'lo mishani. And the Gemara does not answer. Bidinachri v'kodem bitul. Why do you have to have the Mishnah and the Braisa talking about two different types of Avodah Zarah? Talk about the same type of Avodah Zarah. Who worshipped the Avodah Zarah, the tree, both times? A Gentile. But the Mishnah says, why are you not allowed to use it? Why is it possible? Because you weren't mevatel the shame of Avodah Zarah. You have the tree. You bought the tree from a guy. And you did not declare it any longer that it's not going to be used as what? As an Avodah Zarah tree any longer. That Asherah remains Asur. Remains Asur. Now the next, the Braisa, which says that an Asherah is okay, is talking about the same one owned by a Gentile. Why is it Mutter? Because what did you do? You were Mevatel the Shem Avodah Zarah. Why do I need two different cases, asks Tosfos. Why do I need two different cases, asks Tosfos. Why do I need two different cases? Let's use the same case. Kan koidem bitul, kan la'achar bitul. Look at Tysus' answer. Mishum demishenikzas halulav min hadekel nitbatel. Mishum deshenikta nikzas halulav min hadekel nitbatel. What does that mean? What does that mean?
When you cut it, that's an expression.
When you cut it, that's automatically bitul. It's not part of it. That's automatically annulling its status of avodah zara.
Why?
That's a good question. Because it's shinui maisa. You're doing something to it. Because normally it's degrading to cut an avodah zara. It's not within avodah zara nature. It's not considered appropriate to cut something off and still maintain its status of a deity. It would be respectful from our point of view. Also, if you had something holy, you don't chop a piece off of it. So in that time, the Tosfos believes that if as soon as you cut it, bitul took place. Now, why did I ask you to look at this Tosfos? Why did I ask you to look at this Tosfos? Apparently, there is no hava meaning that you could have used this lulav when it was still attached. There's no hava meaning. Because if you could have used it while it was still attached, then Tosfos is kash is no kasha. What do you mean? Under what circumstances would you be able to use an avodah zara? What do you mean? Kodim shenis bata. So the fact that Tosfos automatically rejects such a possibility, you see that Tosfos insists that b'mechubar it's no good. It has to be cut. Once it has to be cut, the shame avodah zara is already what? Off. So there would never way to be a fashion a case of a lulav owned by a Gentile who worshipped avodah zara, who cut it off, where it would be kodem bitul. It would be. You couldn't fashion such a case. So Tosfos here accepts the premise developed by Rashi, operating on the notion that there is no such thing as being mekayim the mitzvah of arba minim bimichubar. Tosfos operates on the assumption that it had to be cut. Once it had to be cut, bitul already took place. Once bitul already took place, I can't fashion a case of two lulavim, one owned by a Gentile worshipped avodah zara, which is good, one owned by a Gentile who worshipped avodah zara, it's not good, therefore it wasn't. So therefore, what was the only two categories which the Gemara had to detain? Avodah zara of Yisrael and avodah zara of a guy. Yeah.
Can you
take
Truma on the Tumut Mechubar?
Nope.
Then you should also have to knock out Mechubar because it's Deva Heterachino. But it's still true, it's still Tefil.
Okay, so what are you going to say for the Hadassim?
It's all, it's, you can't do it for one. It's all the
okay, that's a light plug. You know? Okay. So talk about it in Chutz Laretz. Okay? It's Chutz Laretz. Yeah, so that's what Tosfos says. So again, the question is not discussed in the Gemara, but the Aruch Laner points out that from Rashi here and Tosfos there, we should be able to conclude that you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah b'mechubar. I'm again right to Gemara. The last thing we did was where the Gemara asked the question. What do the Rabbanan do with the Pasuk of Bayom? Rabbi Eliezer, we know what he does with the word Bayom. That you're allowed to cut off a lulav on Yontif. You're allowed to make the igud on Yontif. But the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. They don't allow you to cut it off. So what do I need the word Bayom for? Answer the Gemara to teach me that the mitzvah of Arba Minim only applies during the day and not at night. Ask the Gemara, how did Rabbi Eliezer know that halacha? He learned it from an equation from the end of the pasuk. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. Ask the Gemara, why? What about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan said I can't use that drash. Because had I used the smachtam v'leishem ekenach shivas yamim, I would have compared shivas yamim to another shivas yamim. Which shivas yamim to which I would have compared it to? Basukas teishu shivas yamim. And sukkah is obligatory day and night. So if I used shivas yamim, I would have said that arba minim is applicable day and night as well. That's where we're up to. So now it's about 10 lines in the bottom. V'sukkah gufa minalan. How do I know that indeed by the phrase basukas teshu shivas yamim, how do I know that the word yamim means day and night? The Gemara said that I would compare usmachtam lefnei Hashem anakechem shivas yamim to that one. But that's an assumption that you don't have yet proven. How do you know that the word shivat yamim, basukot teshuv shivat yamim, doesn't mean to live in the sukkah 7 days, not nights? How do you know it means days in terms of the calendaric date, not daytime? V'sukkah gufo minolon, the Tana Rabbanan, basukos teshu shivas yamim. You should dwell in the sukkah for 7 days, drash v'afilu leilos. Not only 7 days, but even nights as well. Challenges the Gemara. Ata omer yamim v'afilu leilos, o eino ela yamim v'lo leilos. How do you arbitrarily have a right to say that here the word shivat yamim means 7 complete calendaric days? Maybe the word shivat yamim means what? 7 days and not nights. How do you know? Answers the Gemara, v'dinhu. Because there's logic to it. Why? Ne'emar kan yamim. It is written here, yamim, shivas yamim. V'ne'emar belulav yamim. And it is written by lulav, ulekachtem lachem, bayom arishon, usmachtem lefnei Hashem alokechem, shivas yamim. Ma lahalun yamim v'lo leilos, af kan yamim v'lo leilos. So let's operate the opposite way. We will learn out sukkah from lulav. Just as by lulav every Tom, Dick, and Harry acknowledges that the word yamim means only daytime and not night, so too, when the Torah tells us to dwell in the sukkah for shivas yamim, perhaps what does the Torah have in mind? Dwell only for 7 daylight hours, no nighttime hours. Oh, or perhaps klach l'derech zu. No, go approach it differently. Go to a different approach. What would I do? Nemar kan yamim. It says here by lula by sukkah shivas yamim. V'nemar b'miluim yamim. And it says, by the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, when Aaron and his children were selected as Kohanim, as part of the dedication process, the Torah tells us, Shivas Yamim Teshvu Ba'ohel Moed, Umi Petach Ohel Moed, Lo Teitzu Shivat Yamim. They had to live there 7 complete days. So just as the word Yamim by Miluim means day and night, so too, the word yamim by sukkah means day and night. So now, I could have done 2 ways. I could have compared the word yamim of sukkah to lulav, and then come to the conclusion that you only have to live in the sukkah during the day. Or I compare the word yamim of sukkah to miluim. And then you come to the conclusion you have to dwell in the sukkah day and night. So which one should I do? Says the Gemara. Nire lemi domer. Let's see which one sukkah is more comparable to. Is it more comparable to what? To lulav? Or is it more comparable to miluim? Danin davar shemitzvaso kol hayayim, mi davar shemitzvaso kol hayom. Va'al yochiach davar shemitzvaso shoha achas. Perhaps I should be more inclined to compare the word yamim by sukkah to the word yamim by miluim, and not to compare it to lulav. Because lulav is a mitzvah which can take place in 1 second. Shoh achas. Not only shoh achas, in 1 minute. Just pick it up and that's it. But miluim, you can't just, even if you wanted to interpret it as days, you can't just do it in 1 minute. So there, by the miluim, it would be more analogous to compare something which is an extended mitzvah, such as dwelling, to another mitzvah, which is an extended mitzvah, dwelling of the miluim in the mikdash. And not to compare it to the word yamim by lulav, which requires to engage in an action which takes place in 1/10 of a second. Oh, or perhaps, klach l'derech zu. No, there is something favoring me to compare sukkah to lulav and not to miluim. Why? Dunin davar shemitzvasa ledoros, mi davar shemitzvasa ledoros. It would make sense to compare sukkah to lulav, where both of them are mitzvot from the time that Sinai was revelation took place until the end of time. Va'al yochichu miluim she'enoagin ledoros. But you can't compare the mitzvah of sukkah to miluim, which was only applicable one time in Jewish history when they dedicated the mizbeach at the time when they built the mishkan. How can you compare sukkah to that? So now the Gemara clinches it. Talmud loimar, teshvu, teshvu. You're right. Based on logic, I could have gone either way. Each one has a strength, each one has a weakness. Why do I choose to compare sukkah to miluim? Because there's a gzeir shava. It says in Parshas Emor, basukas teshu shivas yamim. And in relationship to the miluim, it says that they were supposed to be teshvu shivas yamim and the ol moed. Nemar kan teshvu, v'nema b'miluim teshvu, ma lahalan yamim afilu leilos. Just as by the miluim, teshvu meant days and night, so too, afkan, so too, the teshvu in the mitzvah of sukkah is yamim v'afilu leilot. So is the Gemara. That's how I prove that the word yamim by sukkah is day and night. And as a result, the Chachamim claim that you have to learn out the fact that how Rabbi Lezer will learn out the fact that the word Yom means daytime and not night. You learn it out from the word Bayom, Ukartechem Bayom, because if you're going to rely on Usmachtem Ufnei Hashem Elokechem Shivas Yomim, you're going to come to the wrong conclusion. From Yomim, I would say it applies day and night, based on the fact that Sukkah is day and night. How do I know that Sukkah is day and night? I learned it out from Miluim. So now I would compare Miluim, I compare Sukkah to Miluim, and I had a potential of comparing Lulav to Sukkah. So the Gemara says, that's why I have a pasuk. Bayom, to teach me, no. Do not compare Lulav to Sukkah, and Lulav is applicable only during the day, and not at night. Whereas sukkah and miluim are applicable 24 hours a day. Fine? Now, many Rishonim are so much troubled as to why it is necessary for this Gemara to go through such a whole run-of-the-mill business. Give me another Drashas Chazal which could have proven that the halacha is day and night. Correct. Teshvu ke'ein taduru. That's how they define the word teshvu. As opposed to the word teshvu meaning lo shevet, to sit, it means to dwell. Now most people in their house, they don't only live in their house during the day, they live at night as well. So teshvu ke'ein taduru. Why doesn't the Gemara simply cite the halacha of teshvu ke'ein taduru as what? As the basis of the halacha. What do you need this whole business to go what? To compare it to what? To miluim. What do I need that for? In fact, what the Gemara is troubled, what the Gemara seems to be influenced is a Yerushalmi. Take a look at Daf Chav Zayin Amid Aleph for a minute. Taisa cites the Yerushalmi. Taisus Pedibra Maskul Teshu came to Duru. So what Tosis is going to say is that Yerushalmi claims that Teshuva came to Duru is not such a simple drash. How do I know that the word Teshuva means Ke'en Taduru, which means 24 hours? How do you know that? So the Yerushalmi is going to say, I learned that from Miluhim too. Take a look at Tosis. That's the answer which we showing him give. Because the Gemara is misled, even the Bavli understands what's happening in the Yerushalmi. Says Tosis, B'Yerushalmi Yalif B'Gzeirah Shava. How do I know that Teshvu means Ke'en Taduru? Says the Yerushalmi, I learn it out from G'Zeirah Shava. Ne'amar Kan Teshvu. It is written here what? Here by Sukkah it says Shivas Yamim, by Sukkah Station Shivas Yamim. Ulahalon Ne'emar Lahalon by Parsha Sav Upesach Oel Moed Teshvu Shivat Yamim. Ma Yeshiva Shinemran Lahalon Asaba Esalelos Kibayamim. Af Yeshiva Hu Amura Khan Aseba Lelos Kiyamim. Just as in relationship to the Miluim, the 7 days meant day and night, so too by Sukkah. You what? You now interpret the word Yamim to mean day and night. So Tosfos is citing this Yerushalmi in terms of substantiating which famous drash? Teshvu Ke'en Taduru. So Moshe's question was the perfect question. Who needs the whole comparison to Miluim? Why don't I learn it out? What? From Teshvu Ke'en Taduru. What's the answer? Teshvu Ke'en Taduru is learned out from Miluim. The Gemara didn't assume that the word Teshvu Ke'en Taduru meant independently living in the Sukkah for 24 hours. It's wrong. Everything that we've been bantering about for all our lives, Teshvu Ke'en Taduru, is not such a simple, it's not accepted. If not for the Gzeirus HaKosov of the Hekesh from Miluim to this, I could have had the opportunity to say that there would be no such halacha of Teshvu Ke'en Taduru, and I would not necessarily demand that you dwell in the Sukkah for 24 hours. So the answer to the question is that the question is wrong, that the premise is wrong. The question is based on the premise. The answer is the premise has not been established until we have this comparison to Teshvu Ke'en Taduru. That's point number one. Right. In fact, Tosfos points out that the Gemara had used the drash of Teshuv Ke'en Taduru attempted to come to certain conclusions lahalacha as well. For example, is one's wife obligated to dwell in the sukkah? So everybody knows they're not. Mitzvah Saseishas Mangram. So the Gemara actually raised the possibility that maybe there should be an exception to the rule. Why? Teshuv Ke'en Taduru. Most people, when they live in their house, they live together with their spouse. So on Sukkot, we should say that women should be obligated to observe the mitzvah of Sukkah based on Teshuv Ke'en Taduru. So Tosfos uses this, and in trying to formulate part of his question, apparently it's used to generate halachic possibilities. Therefore, you think that it's a premise that has already been well established. Because you're using it to generate other halachot, other considerations. And so Tosfos has to tell you to Rishalmi, no, it's not true. It's not so well established as we may have thought. As we may have thought. In fact, just interesting, the Ramah uses the Teshuv Ke'en Taduru in the opposite way to justify the worldwide practice of most men not sleeping in the sukkah. Most men not living, sleeping in the sukkah. Because what does it say? Teshuv Ke'en Taduru. Well, when you go travel someplace and your wife is in one hotel room, we don't expect you to be in a different hotel room. So therefore he justifies why it is it that many men don't sleep in the sukkah, because their wives are exempt. And because of Teshvu Kain Taduru, you can sleep in your own house as well. So the Ramah uses this svara of Teshvu Kain Taduru in the exact opposite way in which Tosis cites the Gemara to initially reverse it. No, women should be in the sukkah too. I'm again invited. Arava Shiva. The Mishnah had stated that Arava would be observed 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash if the last day of Sukkot came out on Shabbos. If Hoshana Rabbah came out on Shabbos, then they would take Arava all 7 days. However, if the first day, if the last day of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, did not come out on a Shabbos, then they only took Arava 6 days in the Mikdash. And the day of Shabbos Chol HaMoed, there would be no Arava in the Mikdash. That's what the Mishnah said. Arava Shiva Ketzad. So now the Gemara wants to know, Arava Bishvi'i Mai Taima Dachi Shabbos. Why is it that Arava on the seventh day is Docha Shabbos? Why did they make a special effort on Arava Bishvi'i? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kidei Lefarsima Shehi Min HaTorah. In order to publicize that this mitzvah is Min HaTorah. I told you last week, or 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, that the mitzvah of Arava is subject to a debate between Abba Shaul and the Chachamim. Chachamim believe that there is no scriptural reference whatsoever to Arava in the Mikdash, and it's purely a halacha l'mayshim yisinai. Abba Shaul believes that on the sixth day of the Korban Musaf of Parshas Pinchas, it writes Unis Socheha Alolas HaTamid Umin Chasa. Instead of Umin Chasa, it is Unis Socheha, which means and its libations. So that, that's Nisuch HaMayim. Excuse me, erase that. Arava, everybody. Everybody, most people think it's halacha l'mayshim Sinai, but Abba Shaul again comes along and says, no, it says Arvei Nochal, Arvei Shtayim. Arvei Shtayim. Not Shtayim that what? You need two Aravot, but they're two separate mitzvos of Arava. One is an Arava that goes together with what? With what? With the Lulav. And the other one is to take Arava separately. But it's not black and white in the text. And certainly according to the majority opinion, that's a halacha l'mayshim Sinai, they wanted to publicize it due to the fact that the Baitusin denied the mitzvah of Arava. Denied the mitzvah of Arava. So when something requires pirsum, they will go out of their way and allow something, even at the chashash, the possible risk of potential chilul Shabbos. Because, they didn't want to be goyis at Gzeirah D'Rabbah. On the seventh day, because the seventh day is when they were makif the Mizbeach 7 times instead of 1 time. This idea of pirsum, Rabotai, that whenever there is a halachic concern, you should go out of your way to be mefarsem, is something that has made its way into the liturgy in our calendar many, many times. I will give you but 3 or 4 illustrations of pirsum, where something is done only for pirsum purposes. There is a Titanic machloikis, Tosfos, and the Chachmei Sfarad. Chachmei Ashkenaz, Chachmei Sfarad on the other hand. Can you make a bracha on any time something is introduced by minhag? By minhag. So all Chachmei Sfarad, the Rambam Bereisham, says you're never allowed to make a bracha on an activity which is only introduced by way of minhag. That is why when we take Aravos on Hoshana Rabbah, we do not make a bracha. Because the Gemara will see this a little later on, another blot or two later. Arava is today is minhag nevi'im. Nevi'im started the practice. They never issued a direct command for us to take Arava. It's a minhag, an ein mevarchen ala minhag. Where it plays itself out on a regular basis is halal on Rosh Chodesh. No Sephardic kehila ever recites a bracha, not before or after halal on Rosh Chodesh. You say Halleluka, Hallelujah Hashem, and you end off Hoidu Hashem Kitoiv Kilo Em Chasto. No bracha tchilu v'saif. Such is the practice on Ayom Hazeh. Now the Ramban and the Ravid both fundamentally agree with the Rambam, except that they disagree on one occasion. The Ramban believes that I disagree with the Rambam on Chol HaMoed Shel Pesach and the Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Sfardim, the Rambam says you don't make a bracha on the second days of Pesach or Chol HaMoed, because the Mishnah and Erechin does not tell you to say Hallel only on the first day of Pesach. That's it. So the Ramban says no. Since it's Yom Tov, since it's Midoraisa Yom Tov, part of the Kedushas Hayayim of Yom Tov, part of the Mitzvah of Simcha of Yom Tov demands Hallel. So he believes it's not a minhag. But he agrees to meet the Rambam. Mr. Rambam, you're right. Rosh Chodesh, I don't make a bracha. The Ravid says, I agree with the Rambam also, but I disagree with him on Rosh Chodesh. Kidei lefarsa mashehu Rosh Chodesh. I agree that Yirah should not make a bracha on Hallel, but I have to do something to popularize the fact that people have to know it's Rosh Chodesh. If you make a bracha on something which is a minhag, that's going to shock people and startle people. They'll ask, what are we saying a bracha for? Answer is, to let people know that today is Rosh Chodesh. So again, the idea of Pirsum generated a bracha on Hallel, even though Ekronit, there is no bracha on Hallel. We carry this idea for Rosh Chodesh over on several occasions. Shabbos Shkolim, that comes out on Rosh Chodesh Adar Shabbos. Parsha Shkolim, when Rosh Chodesh Adar Shabbos. How many Kriyas HaTorah are there? There's the regular Parsha, there's Rosh Chodesh, and you read Kisisa. The halacha is, the Haftarah has to follow the last Kriyas HaTorah. So we read the Haftarah for Shabbos Shkolim, Ben Sheva Shanim Yehoash Ben Malcho. That's what we do. But the Minhag Yisrael is that the last two Psukim, the first and the last Pasuk of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we read it again. We read that. Hashemayim Kisi, and you know, V'haya Midei Chodesh B'chadsho, right, Yavoko Basoshnam. Why do we read the first and last Pasuk of the Haftarah? Only to let you know that today is Rosh Chodesh. Lefar Samoshu Rosh Chodesh. Same thing, if Rosh Chodesh would be Sunday, they will read the first and last Pasuk of Macha Chodesh. Why? To let you know that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Don't forget, not everybody has an OU pocket calendar, and they have to let people know that today is Rosh Chodesh. I'll give you illustrations where liturgy decided I have to make an announcement that today is Shabbos. Today is Shabbos. Everybody will remember the only 2 days a year when we say any piyutim is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So if you look in your machzor, there is piyutim for Rosh Hashanah, day number one, and piyutim for Rosh Hashanah, day number two for Shacharis. Both for Shacharis. Suddenly, if you look in the print, it says, if the first day of Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, you say the second day is piyutim. Trust me, there is nothing in the... I know the piyutim pretty well. There is nothing in the piyut on the second day of Rosh Hashanah that has any more relevant to Shabbos than the first day's piyut is. Why do I change it? For one reason only. It's yontiv. You're tempted to think you're allowed to carry on yontiv. You're allowed to cook on yontiv. But it happens to be Shabbos. So we want to make an announcement publicly. Rabbi Yisai, please remember today is Shabbos. So one of the things which the Makbalit, whoever made this decision, we're going to switch around the Yotzros. So when they switch around the Yotzros, and they don't say the normal... Nepat Nekama, whatever it is, which is supposed to be on the first day, why are we saying, oh, today's Shabbos? Remember, don't go ahead and carry. So there are many such activities where we do something simply for the purpose k'day lefarsimo. Here, we're going to allow it to take place on Shabbos because the Baitusim denied the mitzvah of Arava. Denied the mitzvah of Arava. Let's continue the Gemara. Ihachi. Ihachi. Asks the Gemara. Lulav nami litche. Kidei lefarsimo shehu manat Torah. So then, what? Lulav in the Beis HaMikdash.
That's what the pasuk says.
No, it doesn't really say it. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem anakechem shivas yamim does not say you take the lulav 7 days. That's a drash. A drash. Besimchas halulav hakasav medaber. You can easily say usmachtem lifnei Hashem anakechem shivas yamim refers to what? Simchas Beis HaShoeva, lots of other activities. You don't have to say.
Because lulav is days 2 through 7.
Correct. Days 2 through 7. Answers the Gemara. Lulav gzeira mishum derabba. Yeah. What do you mean? I already explained to you on Amud Aleph why I don't believe in having lulav doicha Shabbos days 2 through 7. Midor Raisa, there'd be nothing wrong with it. But I'm afraid gzeira derabba. So what's the Gemara's next question? Ihachi arava nami nigzar. So let's have arava the gzeira derabba cancel this out too. What's the issue? Answers the Gemara. Arava shluchei bezdin maisalo. Lulav lakol masur. Who is in charge of bringing murbios shel arava to the Beis HaMikdash to facilitate the mitzvah? The Bezdin. There's no mitzvah upon NCSY to sell arava bands and rip us off $6 for a couple of pieces of wood. There's no mitzvah to do so. With all due apologies. No mitzvah to do so. Bezdin takes that responsibility to provide aravot in the Beis HaMikdash. Bezdin, they're very careful, they're not going to be Michal Shabbos. But lulav is Masur Lakol. Everybody has to bring their lulav, that we're afraid that everybody's going to be Michal Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, Ihachi kol yoma nami litche. Then why is it, if we're worried about Pirsum because of the Baitusim denying it, why is it only on the 7th day that you will be Doicha Shabbos? How about being Doicha Shabbos on the 3rd day of Sukkot to be Mefarsim to the Baitusim, but they don't know what they're talking about? There is an Arava today as well. Answers the Gemara, Asi lepikpuke belulav. People will say, you know what? You know what? Lulav must not be a very significant mitzvah. Why? Because which one have the rabbis decided to allow you to take place on Shabbos? Only the Arava. But the lulav on 3rd day of Sukkot on Shabbos, must be, it's not a very important mitzvah. Says the Gemara, V'litchei b'yomtov rishon. Okay, so then why can't we have Arava in the Mikdash on Shabbos when the first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos? Now you're not going to be able to belittle the mitzvah of lulav. Why? Because you'll take the lulav on the first day. First day you take the lulav on Shabbos. So why can't you go ahead and what? Also have Arava? Answers the Gemara, Lo mucha chamilsa. Amri lulav hu de kadachi. Lulav hadakadachi. What's going to happen is people will say, no, it's really the mitzvah of lulav that is generating the... But you're not going to be able to interpret it that you're doing it just to be mefarsim, the fact that what? That it's a mitzvah of Torah Shebaal Peh. Not going to be able... People will say, it's based on the fact that there is a lulav on that particular day. That particular day. Asks the Gemara, V'litchei b'chad mehanach? So, okay, so you don't want to do it on the first day of Yontif. What about some other day of Yontif? Where it is only competing against what? Where it's not competing against Lulav? Answers the Gemara, Kaven the Kamifka Slame Rishon, Ukmashvi. Once you've gotten out of the first day already, and I'm going to allow only one day, I decide to go for day number 7. Why? Because as we've already explained, day number 7, they walked around the Mizbeach 7 times, as opposed to each other day, only one day. Only one day. So now take a look at the mitzvah, at Tosfos, B'dibur HaMaschil, Shluchei Mitzvah, Shluchei Bezdin Maisele. And this is Tosfos, which is the basis of the Renach practice that came about only because it was too crowded. But this is a titanic machloikas of Rishonim. Titanic. Says Tosfos, Shluchei Bezdin Maisele Me'erev Shabbos. The agents of the Beis Din will bring all of the Arov to the Beit HaMikdash on Erev Shabbos. Ulemacharat, Eina Mitzvah L'chol Adam. The next day, on Hoshana Rabbah, not every Tom, Dick, and Harry has to pick up an Arava. In fact, they're not allowed to do so. Why? Kidapirish Bekuntris. Why? Di Yisra Ela HaKohanim Makifin Ba Es HaMizbeach. Kidapirish Bekuntris. Di Yisrael Ein Yocholin LaHakif. Because no Jew can be Makif the Mizbeach. Kidistan Beperikam de Kalim. The Ein Yisrael Nichnas Ben Olam LaMizbeach. No Jew can go in where the chamber of the Heichal starts and the Mizbeach. You can't be on the other side. You can't enter. Who is the only one who can enter? A Kayan. Therefore, in the Mikdash, the Na'anua, the Hakafa, was done only by Kohanim. Now the question is, what did they limit the Kohanim to do? According to most Rishonim, it's not just the Arava, but even the Hakafa of the Lulav was also only done by Kohanim for that very same reason. Ein HaYisrael Nichnas Bein HaUlam LaMizbeach. So therefore, only Kohanim did so. Only Kohanim did so. So that's why I always announce when the shul became too big, became impossible to walk around. So only the Kohanim do so, because that's the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. The majority of Rishonim disagree with Tosfos. And the Amud Dabar is against Tosfos. The world's practice is against Tosfos. We all go around with Aravos. We all go around with what? With the Lulav. We all go around with it. All go around. I ain Yisrael nichnas lifnei l'mizbeach. So the answer to that is a very simple one. Why is it? Let me ask you the following question. Yisrael Gottesman, you're a kohen. Right now, mehera yibana hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash will be built tomorrow morning. Okay, so you're getting on an El Al plane tonight. You're landing tomorrow at 5:20. Your first stop is the Har HaBayis. You're up on the Har HaBayis. Now you want to walk around. Based on this old built, you want to take a walk. What will happen to you? Forget about it. You were paradumid. You were sprinkled with everything. You're a holy man. Tell me what's going to happen to you when you walk into the Har HaBayis and you walk around the Mizbeach tomorrow night. I don't want to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be executed. It's at least at the worst kares, and according to some, he says Bezdin. But he's a kite. The answer is, even a Kohen is not allowed to walk in for no reason. Knisa Reikam, Reikanit, entering for no purpose at all, a Kohen has no right to enter as much as we don't. What gives a Kohen a right to enter? The Avoida. The fact that it is a mitzvah to do so. Therefore, everybody says, the Rav said, the Shagasari, everybody said that. If the halacha was that we are all supposed to be makif the mizbeach for our arava, or for the mitzvah of lulav, then what automatically doesn't apply? There's no isa, be a reconnaissance of walking in for nothing, because it's not for nothing. The reason why most of us can't go in all year, because for us, it's for nothing, because we have no assigned task. We're not Kohanim, we can't sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach, we can't put the Ketoris on. So for us, it's all be a reconnit, going in for no reason at all. And going in for nothing is asa mida oraisa, possibly even Misa. Certainly Misa b'day shemayim, no, that's the way the Rambam passes. Chay Misa b'day shemayim. What? I forgot which pasuk he quotes. That velo, you know, velo yavo levaros. I don't remember. Kivalas hakodesh v'meisu. It might be that pasuk in Parshat Midbar. I'm not sure which pasuk he quotes. But if there is any legitimate reason to be there, that's not called be a reikonit, coming in reikon for no reason. Therefore, if the halacha grants the Jew permission, an ordinary Yisrael, the right to be makif, then you can't say, Ein ha-Yisrael, nichnasul. If the mitzvah is, that's the way to do the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to go ahead and be makif. If the Jew has been assigned the mitzvah, the only way for him to do so is to make a kaf around the mizbeah. So therefore, most Rishonim, and certainly Amad Bar, the standing practice among the Klal Yisrael, is that we don't accept this, Ein ha-Yisrael, mizbeah. We accept it only when you have no reason to be there. But if you have a designated purpose to be there, under those circumstances, it perfectly is permissible, and one is permitted to be makif the mizbeach, even though you will be inside the Har HaBayis itself. But Shitas HaToisus is, only the Kohanim would do so. And therefore there was less of an issue, because the Gzeira de Rabba typically didn't apply to Kohanim. Because the Gemara always believes, Kohanim, Zrizenheh. They're very careful and meticulous about performance of mitzvot. Therefore, they will never what? Be Michal Shabbos. But the rest of us guys, they had to legislate Gzeira de Rabba. And therefore, it applies for Lulav and not for Arava on the seventh day.
How does this Gemara work if it's not just Kohanim? So the Gemara says,
they bring it there Erev Shabbos.
No matter who's doing it, it's that it was brought there beforehand.
Correct. That's correct. It was brought there beforehand. Right. And also, there's a second concern. Your lulav is supposed to, when you believe on the first day of Yontif, your lulav has to be brought in the first, also Erev Yontif. So what's Gzeira the Rabba? Because he's afraid that one of us are going to forget to bring it there Erev Shabbos. And now what are we going to do? We're going to carry it to, you know, the whole thing. But since you have only Kohanim doing it, the secondary concern is not subject to the Gzeira de Rabba, because the Kohen is Zoriz. Therefore, he's not going to be Michal Shabbos. All right, we'll stop here, and then we'll continue next Vach. Tomorrow now come out about the business about Hoshana Rabba being on Shabbos. How early in Jewish history did they make sure that it never happened? Based on tampering with the calendar.